Just a quick takeaway from John chapter 1. Just four quick points. You can write these on the back of Jim's notes if you want. But when you talk about John the Baptist, he's actually not a Baptist. Some people think that that's where the Baptist church started. No, it's just literally he's a baptizer. As Jim said, when you're baptized, it identifies you with Jesus, okay? But there's a man sent from God. His name was John. God uses people. God chooses to use people. Raise your hand if you're a people. Good, good. The rest of you, I need to talk to you later to find out what planet you are from. But God chooses to use us. I don't know why. Why would he use Jim or Kevin or you? You can fill in your name. When God could just bypass us and just proclaim the gospel from the heavens, from the trees, or whatever. I don't know that. But he does choose to use us. And he chose a man by the name of John to prepare the way of Jesus when Jesus came to earth for the first time. But God still uses people. Number two, he uses people to testify of the light. God uses you and God uses me to share the light. Again, why does God choose to use people? I don't know, but he will use you to share the light for other people. Okay? We are here to testify of the light. And if you don't share, if I don't share, guess what? The light does not get shared. All right? Why? Why does God choose people to testify of the light so that people will believe in the light through us? The Bible says that so that people would believe through John. And in Luke 1, Jim took us there, but it said that he will turn many people's hearts to the Lord. And that's what he did. And that's what God wants us to do too. We have to share the light. We proclaim the truth about who Jesus is and what he's done. And Jim brought this out too, but our witness is about him, not about us. He says he came to bear witness to the light, but he wasn't that light. When we witness, it's not about us. It's not to bring attention to us. We shared earlier today that we're praying for two couples to help us specifically focus on evangelism, not so that we can build a kingdom of ourselves, but so we can share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we don't care if they're deaf, we don't care if they're Spanish or Cambodian or Vietnamese or whatever the case might be. The goal is to share the gospel, to share the light with others so they might believe. So that's what I want you to hang on to and take away today about John. Now verse 9 says this, and this is in your notes. Do I have notes? Oh yeah, I grabbed mine too here. But I'm only doing the first part of it, and some people probably get frustrated, but at least I'm talking about more than one word today. Okay, but it says this. The next verse is, that was the true light. The light that John was testifying about, that was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. I just want to take the first part of that verse. That was the true light, and just chew on that for the rest of the morning, okay? I'm going to talk about a very hard topic in 2 weeks, which gives light to every man coming into the world on May 1st. Okay, I'm going to address a little bit. Did Jesus die for everyone? Can everyone be saved? Things like that. We're going to talk about that on May 1st. That's a whole topic in and of itself, so I don't want to talk about it today. It'd be biting off too much. But you'll know what we're going to talk about in 2 weeks. All right, the last part of John 1:9. But you can say this, that was the true light. So kids, if you're taking notes, adults, we hope you're taking notes. This is something we've talked about before, but Jesus is the true light. That's the title of the message as well. Jesus is the true light. Okay? You look at the verse that we're talking about today. That was the true light. You might want to underline or circle the word the or the. Jesus, that was the true light. Okay? The Bible presents Jesus as the light, not a light. This is review for most of you, but what's the difference? If there is Jesus is a light, how would it be different than Jesus is the light? Go ahead.
Well, if you're saying he's a light, you're saying there can be more than one of them.
Right.
If he's the light, he's the only one, period.
Precisely. Did you get that? If Jesus is a light, then there's potentially many other lights. There's many roads to God. There's many truths. But the Bible doesn't teach that at all. It says that Jesus is the light. He's the only one. Got it? Jesus is the light. Now that's what makes Christianity quite different than any other religion. Because Christianity is, and here's a big word, is exclusive. What does that mean? It means this. Exclusive means that either you're in Christianity or you're out of Christianity. Christianity claims that Jesus is the only way to God. He's the exclusive path. And the reason we land there is, number one, Jesus claimed to be that. I am the way, right? But also, he's the light. He's the only source of truth. So Jesus is the light. He's the only one. And we proclaim that Jesus is the only way to God. He's the only way to know what is really true. And therefore, you have to be connected to Jesus in order to be right with God, in order to know the truth. We talked about last week, this is review, we talked about last week that Jesus either is who he says he is, he's the Lord, he's God in the flesh, or he's a liar, or he's a lunatic. Those are from C.S. Lewis, those words there, but he cannot be a good man. Muslims believe Jesus is a good man. He's a prophet. Well, a prophet doesn't claim to be God. He would be lying, so therefore he's not a good man. Or he's a complete crazy man, an idiot, or he's God. Okay? We'll talk a little bit more next week about the resurrection that makes all the difference. Either it's true or it isn't, and that's where the rubber meets the road in Christianity. But Jesus is the light. He's God in the flesh, and he's the one that can tell you about the truth. He's the one that can tell you about what is right and wrong, what is true and false. John 8:12 is in your notes here. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am, you might want to circle this again too, the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. You have to follow Jesus to get life. In other words, to understand life. You have to follow Jesus to be aware and not be in darkness. If you do not follow Jesus, you, according to what Jesus says, are in the dark. You are walking by your own understanding, which is darkness. Jesus is the true light. And he's the true light. He's the only true light. Okay? Number two, when you start thinking about this, you say, well, if there's a true light, and Jesus is emphasizing that, Jesus is the true light, what does that imply? There are false lights, right? There must be false lights. The Bible tells us about that. And I just gave you a smattering. But number two, it says, as an example, 2 Corinthians 11:14, Paul says it's a no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of... Okay, so Satan is selling himself as the truth. He's selling himself as the way. What is right and wrong? What is the true and false? The right way to God or not? He's saying no, there's many ways. And what is right and wrong? Right and wrong. We talked about that too. Light is what is true as opposed to false, and what is right as opposed to wrong. What is holy as opposed to unholy is another way to say that one. Okay? There's false light. So what does that tell you? That means that you and I can be deceived because Satan doesn't say, hey, I'm Satan, and I'd like to lead you astray. Can you follow me, please? Is that how Satan works? Absolutely the opposite. How does he present himself? Hey, let me tell you something true here. Let me tell you something. You need to listen here. You need to follow this because this is really good. And this will change your life. And you know what? It's different than what God says. But listen, God isn't interested in you anyway. Does that sound familiar? God is just trying to keep you in the dark. Where is that? Remember hearing that before? Genesis chapter 3, right? The serpent talking to Eve is like, oh, God just doesn't want you to become like he is. Really smart. He's just trying to destroy your fun. He's trying to keep you from eating something that is good for food. Isn't that what? The devil doesn't say, hey, Eve, I'm Lucifer. I'm the fallen angel. And I'd just like to let you know that I'm against God. And eventually God's going to destroy me. But in the meantime, follow me. You'll be miserable. You'll be wretched. Sin will destroy your life. Is that how Satan does it? No, he says, let me show you something special, something new, something interesting, something exciting. You'll live the life. You'll enjoy things. And you know what? That whole thing about sin thing, I'll give you a good time. Okay? There's lots of false lights, and the lead one is Satan himself. Listen, if you are not walking with God, if you are not intricately involved in God's Word, what do you think you're following? You're following the lead false light giver. There's only two paths to follow. There's the way or the truth, and everything else is the lie, right? The devil is the father of lies, Jesus said. You're either following Jesus or you are living in darkness. Right, John 8:12 we just read. He who follows me, that's an active involvement, will have the light of life. Otherwise, you are deceived. We've looked in past weeks about being self-deceived. You ever been self-deceived? No. Okay. Point number one. You can be deceived by others. You can be deceived by Satan himself. But you are deceived if you are not walking with God. There must be false lights. Let's talk about some of those real quick. Because we only list one, Satan. Ah, there. I have my favorite eraser here. How does Satan deceive? Give me some ideas about how what are some things that are against God that the devil teaches as truth? Evolution. Do you know what the basis of evolution is? Let's go back one more step. What is evolution? Okay, that you evolved. Okay, that doesn't help me at all. Okay, he didn't make us in his own image. You know what? What's the basis of evolution? Let's go back one more step. One more step. You're telling me about evolution. There's no God, okay? No God. Evolution is based on atheism. Does that sound like it's against God? You know what atheism means? No God. That's what atheism means. Does that sound like it's against God? God, I don't even believe you exist. I don't believe you created us. In fact, I start rejecting the Bible at verse 1. In the beginning, God. Well, if there's no God, the whole created part goes away too, right? You didn't get past the first sentence of the Bible. All right, so atheism, there's no God. Evolution is based upon atheism. That in fact, there is no God, and therefore everything that is here, everything that you see came about on its own, just like your house or car or anything else, right? It all happened by chance. Yeah, you laugh, and it's like, of course not. Well, that's what we say. The Bible clearly says in Romans chapter 1 that the visible things make it obvious about the power and the power and Godhead of the divine deity, that there is a God and He's very powerful. At the very least, that is very clear. If you are a bump on the log, that is evident to you. You don't have to be smart to figure that out. If you don't think your car, or maybe your favorite toy if you're younger or whatever, or maybe your car is your toy, but if you don't think that came about by chance, then why do you think things that are more complex and alive did? Okay? So atheism, evolution. By the way, if you have evolution, guess what? If there's no God, guess what? What don't you have? Yeah, there's no such thing as sin because there's no such thing as sin. If there's no God, then if you kill me or I kill you, who's to say that's wrong? Does that make sense? There's absolutely no morality. Adultery isn't wrong. Who says it's wrong? Stealing isn't wrong. It's usually people that don't believe in right and wrong because they believe in evolution, right? Except when you steal from me, then that would be wrong. It's not wrong to hurt people unless you're hurting me. For some reason, they still have a sense of justice built into their mind. But there's no sin or morality. Then we can just rely upon the Supreme Court to decide who can be married, right? If this is true, all of this comes from the angel of light, false teaching, ignoring the light, get you there, get you to all these things. What else? Yeah, all about me. I'll just put me here. It's selfish living, right? Selfishness. It's all about me. By the way, the Bible says that that would happen. Men will be lovers of pleasure, lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. 2 Timothy 3, okay? It's just me focused. What else? Yeah, material. What's materialism? That's a big word. If there's no God, then get all you can get while you can get it, right? If there's no God that says, you know what, there's something more important than the stuff you own, then get all the stuff you can. And get better stuff than your neighbors, because that makes you look better. Or whatever the case might be, right? What did Jesus teach? You can't love God in stuff, mammon. Okay? You either love one and hate the other, you serve the one and despise the other. Okay? And you can go on and on. How about, you remember a guy named Freud? What was Freud? Yeah, the father of psychiatry. He rejected the Word of God, and he embraced the idea that you are driven by the very root of your sex drives, believe it or not, and he set out to prove it, and everything there goes there. But modern psychology is based upon what he believes. There's even people that try to mix the Bible and that, which seems to be odd. If Jesus is the light, does he need help? Okay. Everything has to be weighed by what the Bible says. But you get all of this. Okay? What about other religions? Can you name some other religions? Islam. What's Islam, by the way? We'll get to Hinduism soon. Yep, Muslims, founded in roughly the 600 AD by a guy named Muhammad. Right? You probably heard a lot about Muslims, the fastest growing religion in the world. Okay? Very much the root of a lot of the terrorism today. Not all of it, but a good amount of it. Yep. On the Old Testament, and they also will read the Gospels, which is interesting. They reject the rest of the New Testament, but basis of the Old Testament, but it's considered a different religion because they use what book? The Quran, depending on how you say it. All right, yeah, Jesus is a prophet, but Muhammad is the prophet, and the God is not God, it's Allah, right? Hinduism, what's Hinduism? Okay. It's polytheistic. It means it believes in many gods. A Hindu can accept Jesus in some sense of the word, but not in the biblical sense of the word. Okay, yeah, and you're reincarnated. So before you were you were a cow, or, you know, maybe you were a king and you failed, you know. And don't kill things, don't step on them because they might be your aunts and uncles or predecessors, okay? What else? What's another false religion? Buddhism, okay. These are somehow connected. I can't tell you too much.
Buddhism is more like a form of humanism. Humans have the power to focus on inner being.
Right, wisdom, yeah.
We are the all-knowing creatures.
Good. Humanism is we're the center of our own destiny. We are our own gods. Okay, I'm going to stay away from Catholicism in a second because it's actually not a different religion. I'll explain in a minute. Yeah, it is. Atheism and evolution, that's why there's so much there in the public schools and teaching and all that. Atheism is a religion. People reject that idea, but it's a belief in no God. It's a belief system that rejects God and then all of that that follows. Lynn? Okay, environmental movement. There you go. Well, but understand, we're talking about the extreme here, not that you should take care of your stuff. The Bible teaches taking care of your animals and your property. But some people worship nature. And they worship the creature rather than the creator, right? Okay? So that's a false movement. Okay. Okay. So, well, nature worship of some kind or another. Do you see that all the way in animism, things like that, all over the world, nature and all that?
Kind of a developed idea of that is that you have secular humanism. You have churches that which are more about humanism than they are about actually believing in Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Ultimately, humanism. Secular means you separate from God. It's, you know, you're secular. You don't have any religion. And it's funny, but there's even churches like that. But again, the whole idea of atheism is based, you know, that's secular humanism. It's a rejection of God.
I don't know what the religion is called, but it has to do with, like, L. Ron Hubbard.
Scientology, yeah. Okay. Like Tom Cruise, and it's a completely made up religion. He says that he wrote it, and then you have to pay lots of money to be part of it. And yeah, it's.
I'm gonna say Judaism. Okay. It basically rejected God when they got him.
Okay, Judaism is a form. They reject Jesus. That's what we're talking about in Judaism. So they went to a point, but then they reject, and then it's usually basically a religion of works. And identity. I'm a Jew, so therefore I'm connected to God somehow. Okay? Some people do that when they're Baptists or whatever, too, and that doesn't work either. Religions. Now, Jenny said Catholics. The reason why it's a difference, what is a cult?
Not following one person.
Okay, something more specific. That's a good idea. Yeah, that's an example of them, Branch Davidian. Remember those people down in Waco, Texas? Form of a cult. What is a cult by definition? What makes it different than a religion like Buddhism? Okay, but that would be true here. Keep trying. Did you get that? That's why we import smart people in every now and then. I say that as a joke, not as a slam, everyone. I mean, we're getting really good answers. It's the Bible plus. Okay? So it's a deviation of Christianity because they take the Bible and add something else to it. And usually they kind of take stuff out of the Bible too, if that makes sense. So, you know, I'll put those in a different color or something so you kind of remember that. But they don't take the whole Bible and they also add to it. Now, does that make sense? Branch Davidian was David Koresh. That wasn't his real name. His real name was like Norman or something. But anyway, it was his writings. It was direct revelation from God, okay? The Bible and that, and he wrote all kinds of books on the book of Revelation and stuff. He was kind of wild about the apocalypse, okay, the book of Revelation. What other? Mormons, okay. What do they add? The writings of Joseph Smith, which includes the Book of Mormon. There's like actually 14 different books that they use. The Book of Mormon is the most well-known. And they use the King James Bible and the Book of Mormon is what they carry. That's why they're double-wide Bible carriers, you know. But it's funny, but they never refer to the King James Bible. Never refer to the Bible because the Book of Mormon fixes the Bible, supposedly, okay. And then there's Principles and Practices. There's a whole bunch of different ones that they use too. And they have apostles that get direct revelation from God as well. Okay, so the Mormons would fit into there. What about the Catholics? Would the Catholics do this? Why? Now, we're not picking on Catholics. There's a lot of Baptists that take this too. Understand that. So Baptists can be cultish too because they add to the Bible, right? What about the Catholics? What do they use? They don't have another book. You grew up Catholic. What?
We believe that we can pray to Mary.
Yeah, and where did that come from? Jim used the term. Traditions of the church. Praying to Mary is an example that Annie gave. Okay? Where in the Bible does it say you're supposed to pray to Mary? My point exactly. Okay, where did that come from? Or the idea of, what do you call that when you... indulgences, different things. And by the way, you have to do those things to get into heaven. Confession, marriage, last rites, sacraments. Yeah, the different things, okay? What else? I don't know much about the People's Temple. Sounds... Yeah, Jehovah's Witnesses. And we're just giving examples. We obviously won't list them up. What Jehovah's Witnesses, they use the Bible, a rewritten Bible, a New World's Translation, which isn't a very good translation, really. They say Jesus is a created being. He's not God. He's the first created being, right? They use the writings of Charles Taze Russell, who was, by the way, a Baptist who went away from the Bible. Okay. By the way, they were setting dates for the return of Christ. Patricia was telling me about Jesus is returning on May 21st. You've probably heard that. I haven't ever heard it a lot because I don't pay any attention. But they did that a couple times. And then finally they all went up on the top of the hill and then they went down off the top of the hill and did it again. And then finally it said Jesus returned spiritually and all that. But anyway, Bible and something else, okay? And they have the Watchtower, which is their magazine, okay?
It actually
Right. Right. Jenny says, any church that doesn't follow the Bible, right? Because then they're mixing it with something else. That's true. Okay? Absolutely. So that gives you an idea. That's the difference between a cult. Cult is a Christianity astray, where a religion is something other than the Bible, usually, though the Islam does supposedly honor the Old Testament. Hmm. Right. Yeah, there's branches of the break off.
The interesting thing is there's a terminology used by the world to confuse the Christian world, and that is fundamental Islam, fundamental Buddhism.
Right. The word fundamental has its own meaning, and it depends on what is fundamental. There's fundamental math.
Yeah, but if you're a fundamental Christian, you're identified as being an extreme.
Radical, yeah. Which is not true. A person that believes in fundamental science believes in the basics. Okay? If you're a fundamental believer, you believe in the basics of the Bible. There's core elements of the fundamental truths that you believe in. That's where that came from. But they do misuse that word. So, okay? So we get an idea here. Let's go on. I'm going to erase some of these. Everyone get the idea here? There's a lot of things that are false. If there's the light, there's lots of false lights. The devil is the lead light fake. And he propagates other things. By the way, the Bible talks about doctrines of demons and stuff like that. Do you think people think up Mormonism all on their own? Please. If you ever study Mormonism at all, it's fascinatingly complex. No man thought that up. Yeah. Yep. They're children of gods who will reproduce the gods. Unless you're women and then you're nothing. Yeah. Okay, so I believe the devil is definitely involved in a lot of this. That's true of, it could be true of a Baptist person too, understand. We're not calling names, we're talking about practices here. If you add to the Bible, you're opening yourself to doctrines of demons, and the Bible talks about that. Okay? All right. Lots of false teachings. And you can see that one leads to another oftentimes. He said communism is based upon evolution and atheism, okay? All of those things like that, they stem from one another. All right? The Bible gives us, let's pick the right color here. Yeah, warnings. Are you looking at my notes, Jenny? Okay. All right. The Bible gives us warnings. This isn't Kevin making this up. People are led astray all the time because they ignore the Word of God. And it isn't because the Bible isn't warning them about that. Okay? Matthew 7. Look at there in your notes, just right under number 3. Notice the first word. You might want to circle that one. Beware. Got that? Jesus says this, beware of false prophets. Those that say, hey, God told me this. Who come to you in sheep's clothing, so they're faking it. All right? They're looking like sheep. They look like they belong. But inwardly, they are ravenous wolves. It's not what they look like on the outside, but that's their ultimate intent. Okay? And this is probably one of the most misquoted passages in all the Bible, this next one here, this verse 16. You will know them by their fruits. Who will you know by their fruits? The false prophets. Okay? It's not, if you are a fruit inspector of other people's fruit, get off that and start inspecting your own fruit, because that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about false prophets. You can tell false prophets by how they act, because they will have an intent and a direction that will be different than what Jesus did. Jesus, one of the things that it goes on later, they seek profit, money, cha-ching. The word televangelist comes to mind, but it just wiped away again. You know, that idea, if you send in money, I'll send you something in return or whatever. It's like, do you see Jesus doing that? He says the Son of Man doesn't even have a place to lay his head. Okay, there's something different. Paul, he knew how to abound. Hey, there's times that I got to eat steak, Paul would say. And other times, I was hungry. I was starving. Sometimes I was full, and sometimes I didn't have enough. The point is, he was evangelizing. He was sharing the gospel. That's what mattered. If he found himself in the palace, that's good. And if he found himself in prison, that's okay too, because people need to know Jesus in prison. Okay? False prophets want to be just in the palace. And they want lots of attention, and they want what's there for them. Ravenous wolves. Okay? 1 John 4. I got these mixed up a little bit. Let me jump to the bottom of the page. It's Colossians 2. It says there. See that? As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up and established, built up in Him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Next word? Beware. Circle that. You know, because God is warning us. Don't be surprised. Beware lest anyone cheat you. Do you know as a believer you can be cheated by what? False teaching. You can be cheated by false light, lead you astray, and you lose the steady path. You lose the straight path. You lose the comfort that only comes from God. You lose the stability that is in the midst of the instability of life. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. And we listed a whole bunch of them. Beware. Let me take it to one more. Beware. Hebrews chapter 3. Turn there if you would. Beware. I'm going to reveal to you another enemy. You have the chief fake, the devil, who presents himself as an angel of light. You have false teachers. And by the way, they come with deceit, telling you things. It's like, oh, you want to hear something new? Let me explain the Bible better. Hebrews 3, 12 and 13. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened, there's that word again, through the deceitfulness of sin. Every one of us here has a heart, the Bible says, that is deceitful and desperately wicked. And the Bible says you need other believers to exhort you daily, otherwise you will be hardened to the deceitfulness of what? Okay? The Bible says that you carry around with you probably your own worst enemy. And you see him or her in the mirror every day. I don't look long, but it's still there, right? Your worst enemy, guess what? It's the heart that can be deceived, right? It's the heart that is led astray. And your heart, there's a deceitfulness in your heart that wants to go astray, the Bible says. Bummer. But it's true. You need other people to, what? Exhort you. Hey, stay on the track. Stay on the right way. Keep going. The Bible gives us, the last one here is instructions. Tells us what to do. We need constant exhorting. We need to be, that's one of the, you've heard the Hebrews 10:25. We're in the Hebrews part again. But it talks about, and let us consider one another in order to provoke or stir up one another to love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That's the purpose of coming together. We're considering one another to encourage one another. Why? Because we can be deceived, right? We need that. I'm going to read 1 John 4, 1 through 3. It's actually underneath your third point, but I'm kind of moving around for instructions. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. Some of you know I was a manager of a Christian bookstore for a while. And it's amazing that because something's in a Christian bookstore, or, you know, Patricia will talk about the guy on the radio that says that Jesus is returning on May 21st or whatever, because it's on the Christian radio station or it's in a Christian magazine or it's in a Christian bookstore, people believe it. They just, it says something Christian about it. Or even movies that are supposedly Christian. We were having a conversation about that yesterday. Just because somebody promotes it as a Christian movie doesn't make it Christian at all. The last one, there was a little bit of interaction over the latest one that everyone's raving about. It's called Soul Surfer. I haven't seen it. Probably won't. But one of the gals online, Esther, my oldest daughter, sent me a link, and she said it's amazing because she had seen, not Esther, but this other gal, and said, there's nothing in that movie about Christ at all. They quote two verses. It's very shallow there. And there's huge amounts of immodesty. Okay? Can you take immodesty and make it a Christian? That doesn't mesh. And we're not talking legalism here. You know, we're not talking about measuring somebody's skirt down to the floor. It's just like, well, if you're in a bikini, that's probably not modest. And there's nothing Christian about that, even if you are a surfer. Okay? And not to take away from anything that gal, whatever her name is, it's based on a true story, went through. But there's things that God teaches and teaches clearly in the Word of God. It doesn't make him Christian to put a label on it. Okay? Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are from God. What does the Bible say based upon what he or she is saying or what it is propelling toward us? Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. This list here, you could boil down to one question as far as truthfulness. It's not the only question, but a key question about truth is, what did they say about Jesus? Okay, well, Jesus is either a fantasy, like some of the religious leaders at Drake University would say. He didn't even physically exist on the earth. Really, that takes imagination there. Or Jesus is just a good man in some way, shape, or form, like Islam. Or Jehovah's Witnesses say he's the first created being. Or Mormons say he's the brother of Satan. Oh, study Mormonism. It's interesting. Okay? But he's a created being. Okay? The Bible says that Jesus is the Son of God. He's God in the flesh. We talked about that when we were in John 1 a little bit, even reviewed it last week. That's a core idea, is who is Jesus? Okay? That's what it tells here. Right underneath number 4, it's Galatians 1. I'm going to turn to Galatians 1. Paul. Do you remember Paul? Who was Paul? Who was Paul? He was an apostle, right? Probably, to me, one of the great apostles. He was one who persecuted believers before he got saved, okay? Notice here what he's saying. In verse 6 of Galatians chapter 1, he says this. Now listen closely if you don't have it in front of you. I marvel, Paul says, that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. He's talking to believers who are getting deceived. Verse 7 says, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Now, this is Paul's rule here now. He says, listen, but even if we, as an apostle or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Listen, Paul says this, if I teach you differently than what you've heard before, believe what you heard before, reject what I teach you, because the gospel is true regardless of who else says anything. And that's the nature of the Word of God. The Word of God is the standard, not a Kevin or a Jim or even an Apostle Paul. You understand that? That's the Word of God that is the bottom line. And that's what we have to keep going back to. Now look at that passage at the bottom of your notes again. Colossians 2. I'm going to read the first two verses. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Rooted. That means you have to develop roots. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. That's a process. Salvation isn't a process. Salvation is presented as a birth. But growing up in the Lord is a process. You don't automatically become rooted or built up or established. That is a time process. You get discipled. Jesus said, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and then teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. That's a process of time. It takes time. It takes learning. It takes reviewing and over to get there. As you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving, you have to be taught. It takes time. The Bible gives us instructions. Two more verses. The top of the last page there. And then I'll give you one more verse out of the bottom stack. Philippians 4. If you're a believer, you've been saved for a long time, you probably know this to the point where you don't even think about it anymore because it's like, I know this, leave it alone. But we need this passage. Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. Finally, brethren, underline these if you don't mind. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report. If there is any virtue, if there's any such thing as good, then there must be what? Bad. Follow me here. That's what this is talking about. If there's any virtue, if there's anything that is praiseworthy, it's honorable as opposed to dishonorable. What does it say? Meditate on these things, okay? The Bible tells us to meditate on these things. Then it goes on, these things which you've learned. We talked about the importance of learning and received and heard and saw in me. These do, and the God of peace will be with you. You need to meditate and do. In order to enjoy safety and freedom in Christ. Hebrews 10:22 is down on your list in the bottom here. It's just called an exhortation. It's right before that, not forsaking the assembling yourselves passage there, but it says this, let us draw near with a true heart. In full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Folks, there's such a thing as true and false. And if you are not walking in the light, the Bible clearly teaches that you are in the dark. You might think you're doing right, but how will you know? Because it's the Word of God that defines what is right and wrong. There's all kinds of things, including your own heart, that can lead you astray. God wants you to walk in His light so that you may have the light of life, Jesus says. So that you can be aware of what's going on around you from His perspective, from the right perspective. And also, we said light is two things. What is right versus wrong, and what is holy as opposed to sinful or unholy. How do you know what's right and wrong unless you ask the person who is holy? He has revealed that to us. If you rely upon your own heart, you'll be deceived. If you're not in the company of other believers, the Bible says you'll be deceived. You may be walking in the deception of false teachers. How will you know? Do you know when you're deceived? Please, that's the whole idea. You don't know. I encourage you, I exhort you today to be in the Word of God. Embrace the Lord Jesus by believing on Him as your Savior if you haven't done that. He is God in the flesh. He died for you. He rose again to prove that He wasn't just a man like Muslims teach or Jehovah's Witnesses. He rose again to prove that His payment was right and good and true. And then walk in His light so that you can know the truth and the truth will set you. And you've heard me say this over and over again. Probably if you've been around, you're sick of me saying it. But it's the truth sets you free, not what you think is the truth. It's not your intentions. It's the truth that makes the difference. I just want to encourage you to walk in the light. Walk in the truth of the Word of God. Be in the Word of God every day to know what is true as opposed to false, what is holy as opposed to sinful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. And I thank You that I don't have to rely upon my own sinful heart to know what's true, to know what's holy. You clearly reveal these things to us. And I thank You that we have easy access to the Word of God. Help us to not reject it. Help us not to harden our hearts. As You say we can, to harden to the deceitfulness of sin. Help us to recognize that and repent of that if that's the case. And I pray, Lord, that we would encourage one another to walk with You, not because it's easy, not because it's automatic. Lord, our hearts pull us away from You, but help us to keep meeting together to encourage one another in that way. And help us, Lord, to love Your truth, to love the Lord Jesus, and to follow Him with all of our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.